Hey there, and welcome to your Pocket Sailing Instructor. I'm Penny Caldwell, and I have been a sailing coach for over 25 years now. I'm here to help you reach your sailing goals, whether you're looking for gear reviews, safety tips, or just some fun sailing stories. This podcast will have it all. Your Pocket Sailing Instructor is an educational and fun podcast about all things sailing. I plan on releasing weekly episodes every Thursday to help you end off your week on a high note. So grab your coffee and join me for your weekly dose of all things sailing. Hey guys, hope you're having a great week. It's flying by once again. I mean, January is flying by, which is just crazy. We're already at the end of the month here, but that means one step closer to sailing season. So excited about that. And hope you're doing great. And thanks for tuning in again this week. This week, I am going to tackle something that nobody enjoys talking about, but that is boat fails. So things that go wrong on the boat, things that don't go according to plan. And last week's episode, my 007 episode, day trip planning. Hopefully you have listened to that one and you've taken on a few tips and you've started working on some good habits to help you get ready to head out on the water. And part of preparing and being organized will also help you avoid having boat fails, hopefully. So we're going to dig into this topic and dissect it a little bit. And here we go. All right, so I have compiled a little bit of a list here of the most common boat fails that people experience when they're out on the water. So I'm going to touch on those briefly, and then as I go through some of my tips and tricks for getting over a boat fail and getting back out there, I'll touch on them again. So I think the one at the very top of the list that everybody tends to freak out about a little bit is docking. So docking has this stigma to it. Everybody thinks, oh, I can't do this. It's going to go horribly. Everybody's watching me. People are going to be taking videos. Hitting the dock, hitting another boat, not ending up in your slip, going too fast, going too slow, all that kind of stuff can lead up to a boat fail. So I'm going to touch on that one a little bit. Running aground is another one that happens pretty often. Again, with day trip planning, hopefully you are aware of where you're boating and you have some charts and you've taken a look at what the depth is in the area and you know what your draft is. So the draft is the amount of water that you need to safely go through an area. So running aground could be submerged objects, could be sandbar, didn't know the depth, you weren't paying attention, that kind of thing. Another common boat fail is running out of gas. This one's pretty embarrassing, but unless there's some sort of crazy weather anomaly or unless you're towing another boat, this one just comes down to lack of preparation and potentially not having enough fuel or underestimating the distance that you need to go or the amount of fuel that you're consuming. Another one that happens, this tends to happen with smaller boats like fishing vessels, like little Zodiacs or what's the name of the boat I'm thinking of, like a Lund or a Whaler, like that kind of fishing boat, is forgetting to put in the drain plug. I've seen this pretty often with this is more powerboat specific for sure. Even my father-in-law, his boat got launched and after winterizing and a nice engine checkup, and the mechanic forgot to put the drain plug back in. So boat ended up back at the dock, tied up, and next morning it was submerged. So that actually happens way more than it should, unfortunately. Another boat fail is overloading the boat. So in this case, maybe you're heading off to shore on your little Zodiac, your dinghy, and you're not wanting to make too many trips. So you throw in some extra gear and some extra people and think, oh, no worries, I'm going to make it. That's setting yourself up for a potential boat fail for sure. And the last one I'll talk about a little bit is skying your halyard. So halyard is the rope that we use to pull up our sails on a sailboat. And depending on the type of boat and the size of the boat and the height of the mast, if you lose that rope and it ends up at the top of the mast, you could be in big trouble. So I'll touch on that one a little bit as well. So all very common boat fails. Not the end of the world, and definitely things that you can learn from, overcome, and move on. All right, so one of the first steps that I think is key in avoiding a boat fail is don't worry. And I know easier said than done. We all have those situations that we think about where you're like, wow, what would I do if I was in that situation? Or what would I do if? And there's a whole bunch of different rabbit holes that you can go down and you can start worrying about different ways that you might fail when you're out on the water or in your boat. So I know it sounds a bit cheesy, but really try not to focus on the negativity. Try to just be prepared, do your pre-departure checklist, file your float plan, check your safety gear, develop those good habits that I've been talking about so that you feel that you are prepared for whatever is going to head your way. And then in the end, when you do have something unexpected come up, you're not worrying about the little things that you think you haven't prepared, but you have the space and the emotional and mental awareness to deal with these extra things coming up. So one of the things that I do, and it's kind of funny because my daughters asked me once, I was getting ready to sail a boat from Hawaii over to back to Vancouver. So crossing the Pacific Ocean, going to be out there for a few weeks. And my youngest daughter was especially worried about, well, what's going to happen when you're out there? And so I said, okay, let's think about what's going to happen. So we played this little game, and basically I had her tell me all of the different things that she thought could go wrong when we were out on the boat. So we had all kinds of, we had like struck by lightning, and what if a shark attacked the boat, and all kinds of crazy stuff. And so then what I did is we sat down and we talked about each scenario, and I kind of walked her through, well, what would I do if a shark attacked the boat? And the reason why I was able to answer all of those questions is that I was prepared for my trip, and I knew what to expect for the day-to-day activities of my trip, which left the space for me to be able to dissect and understand and be prepared for unexpected situations. So that's one of the things that I do when I'm getting ready for a big trip. For instance, this fall, I'm going to be going to Croatia. So already I'm looking at charts, I'm looking at cruising guides, I'm kind of looking up photos online, I'm looking at Google Maps, all kinds of stuff so that I can start to visually prepare myself for my trip. And I'm also going to walk myself through all of the typical things that I need to know about my boat to have a successful trip. So what kind of motor does it have, and what are the typical things that go wrong with that motor? How much water are we going to have on board? Just kind of mentally preparing myself for all of those things. So that way, if I'm prepared for all of the right things to happen, if a wrong thing happens, I can focus my energy on figuring out, all right, this just went down. What do I do? So if you are in a position where you just had a boat fail, first thing I want you to do is take stock of what just happened. So first and foremost, you're checking your crew and you're checking yourself. If you hit a dock, it's possible somebody was standing up, getting ready to step off the boat with a dock line. Maybe they fell off of the boat. Maybe now they're in the water, or maybe they're on the dock and they're injured, or God forbid, they're in between the boat and the dock. So take a moment to take stock of your crew and yourself, make sure everybody's okay. After that, take stock of the boat. And is there anything immediate, any immediate danger that you need to take care of? Okay. And then once you have taken stock of what happened, then basically you want to start preparing yourself for, fixing the situation, whatever it is. So for instance, like I just said, you were pulling into the dock and maybe you're going too fast and you hit the dock. So you hit the dock, you're like, holy moly, first thing you're going to do, check to see if anybody fell off. Is anybody hurt? No. Okay. At this point, now you're figuring out, can I salvage this docking? Can I still get people off of the boat safely? Can they use their dock lines to tie off the boat? Or do I need to back out of my slip? Maybe I even need to back and head out of the marina and just circle around and just touch base with everybody, figure out, okay, how could I have done that differently, and then move on from there. So once you've had time to kind of calm down and process what has happened and you've figured out, okay, yes, I can salvage a situation, no, I can't, you kind of come up with your game plan. It's a good time after you have kind of secured your boat. So in this case, let's again go back to docking. Let's say you managed to get your boat docked. Then, you know, if you want to beat yourself up a little bit and want to be angry about what happened, by all means, you're fully entitled to do that. Go ahead and, you know, get angry and be, oh, Jesus, I was going too fast. I know better. Or, you know, the wind was really pushing me around. I needed to use a little bit more reverse to slow down, whatever the situation. So, you know, feel free to go through the emotions that you need to take stock of what just happened. And the next thing that you want to do is figure out, what did I learn from this situation? For me, when I'm out on the boat, every situation is a learning situation. So all of these boat fails that I'm talking about, it's because either I've experienced them or I've been on a boat that has experienced them. I've watched a boat experience them. There's constantly, you know, there's so many moving parts when you're out on the water and you're out on a boat that you're going to have these types of things happen. So, you know, instead of brushing them off, I don't think you should brush them off, but I also don't think that you should harp on them and you should beat yourself up. You need to find that kind of in between happy place where you can say, all right, that was shitty. I don't want to do that again. How can I avoid having that happen the next time? And docking is a really tricky one because, you know, I tell my students all the time, they're always worried about docking. And I'm like, well, every time you dock, it's going to be different. So I can't really, you know, I'm going to coach you through the way that I think you should approach the dock based on the orientation of the dock and where the cleats are and the height of the dock and where the wind is pushing you. So there's a lot of different factors that are coming into play, and I'm going to help coach you through how to do a successful docking. But every time that you come in, something is going to be slightly different. It could be you have a different crew. It could be, I don't even know. It could be something small, like you're wearing a different pair of shoes and you trip when you go to get off. Like, seriously, that's how different it can be. And that's how such a small thing can impact what you're doing. So, you know, on one end of the spectrum, don't worry about it. Don't overthink it. And on the other end of the spectrum, don't beat yourself up too much if it does happen, and try to learn from it and take it as a learning experience. And one of the things that you can do, you know, to learn about this experience, however you want to do it. For me, I keep a bit of a journal. I know it sounds a little bit lame, but I basically, after every course, or even after every time I head out with the family, you know, I have my boat logbook, right? So I'm keeping track of where we're going, what we're doing, who's on the boat, all that kind of stuff. Well, there's always a section in the notebook where you can write down notes. So I'll write a quick note, like, you know, hit dock, going too fast. You know, when was a beam pushing me on the dock, whatever. So, you know, just writing things down, observations that you're making along the way, so that you can use that to reference and to go back to at a later date. It will be helpful to kind of have the details of, you know, what went down, why do you think it went wrong, what could have happened differently. So just going back to some of the boat fails that I talked about at the beginning of this episode here, docking, we just talked about that pretty much, but it's going to be different every time. So that's kind of something that as you practice more and you get more comfortable with your boat, with your motor, with your crew even, that you're going to get into a bit of a routine and it's going to become more and more comfortable. So anytime that you can practice docking on a different dock, whether it's a guest dock at a marina or a public dock, like a public launch, we have a few in the area here and I try to get my students to practice on different types of docks. And even, it doesn't even necessarily have to be a dock. If there is some sort of fixed object that you can pull up beside that is safe to pull up beside, that's another way that you can practice and just start to get more comfortable with how you can go about doing this so that you don't end up in that boat fail category. Running aground, like I mentioned at the beginning, this one is definitely, in my opinion, more about preparedness and making sure that you're doing your boat preparation, you're doing your checklist. If you're boating in a new area, you should be definitely trying to pull up those charts online or have an app like Navionix or something that you can refer to. There are a lot of areas, like even out here in Nelson, we have lots of unknown submerged objects. Our charts are a little bit out of date as far as having those marked off properly. So it is possible that you're boating in an area where really only having that local knowledge will be able to tell you some of the dangers that might be in the area. So what I would do is if I was heading to an area that I've never boated in before, I'd be looking at the charts if I have them. I'd be looking at Navionix if I don't have paper charts, and I'd probably look at both. And then I would try to find some online resources so that I can figure out what types of dangers or local things should I be aware of in this area. So that's how I would prepare to kind of go and have a fun day out on the water in an area that I haven't really boated in before. So hopefully that will help avoid that type of boat fail. Forgetting the drain plug, talked about a little bit about that. That one really just, I don't even know how to tell you not to forget that one other than write a note on your forehead or maybe tie something on the boat that will be a reminder or print off or put a some sort of sticker or something saying, yeah, don't forget the drain plug. So that's just a few of those boat fails there that, and different ways to avoid them. So we've talked about not worrying, taking stock of the situation, get angry about what happened, work through your emotions, write things down. So have a little bit of a sit down and reflection moment there and just maybe write down a few notes about what could have happened differently or not even what could have happened differently, just what happened and why. And then you can try to brainstorm later on about what you could have done differently. And the next one, in my opinion, would be take responsibility. So, you know, it happened, it sucked, it's over, everyone survived, hopefully. And now you're going to move on and you're going to learn from it. And yeah, move on basically. It is hard, especially when it is something unexpected. So for me, I had an incident where I was bringing a boat in to the marina, into the dock, and we had quite strong wind. It was 25 knots of wind or so. So quite a bit of wind. And I was getting ready to use the outboard in reverse to slow us down as we were coming into the slip. And the outboard just totally died. I put into reverse and just dead. And this outboard is known for doing that. And so it wasn't really a surprise, but it was kind of like, uh-oh. So yeah, the motor died. The motor's in a place on the transom where I would have to turn around completely and contort myself to try and start it again. So that wasn't really an ideal setup to do that. So in the end, we were really lucky that I had a super agile athletic student who was ready to step off. He had a spring line ready because we knew we were going to need the spring line to stop the forward movement of the boat. And so he was able to step off and stop the boat with the dock line, but that was really not an ideal situation. And that was not the way that I wanted that lesson to go down. And I was really angry at the motor. I'm not going to lie. I was feeling pretty upset that, you know, I don't need the motor often on a sailboat. I'm a sailor, but what the hell, when I did need you, you just died. So, it took a while for me to kind of forgive the boat, I guess you could say, or forgive the motor at least, and have confidence in the motor again. And one of the things I ended up doing, and it was during this time when we had like consistent high winds throughout this course, like this poor course, we were constantly reefed and we were just constantly being battered by the wind. And, you know, the next day it was really windy again, and I wasn't feeling too confident about whether or not this motor was really going to do it for us. And so what I did before the course, I went and I checked the motor, went through all kinds of, you know, my usual checks, checking the fuel and the fuel line and the intake and propeller and all that kind of stuff, just making sure everything was good. And then I took the boat out on my own and I did a whole bunch of maneuvering with the engine and going in forward, going in reverse, shifting back and forth, idling high, idling low, slow speed, fast speed, just so that I could kind of, I don't want to say become one with the motor again, because that sounds lame, but basically get myself back into a headspace where I felt like I trusted the motor again. So that's what I did. I took responsibility for the fact that I, you know, screwed up and idled the motor too low when I shifted and it died on me. And, but what I did, instead of getting too upset about it and losing my confidence with this particular boat, because I do use a couple different boats when I'm teaching, you know, I took it out and I battled through it and away we went. So there you go. The next thing that I would suggest is, you know, is there something that you did that potentially caused this boat fail? So for instance, you know, did you skip doing your pre-departure checklist? You know, were you finishing up work? You were running late. Your friends are meeting you at the dock. You're going to head out and anchor and go for a swim. So you all hop on the boat. You skip doing your pre-departure checklist and you get about halfway to your anchorage and you run out of fuel. So did you not check your fuel level before you left and now you're stuck? So was there something in your procedure that you would normally do, or maybe there's something that you need to add in to your procedures that you do before you leave to help develop those habits? And again, they're habits for a reason. We want to make sure that we make them kind of second nature, or you don't even have to think about it. And really doing a quick boat check won't take you too long. But, you know, I've been guilty of it as well in the hurry to get out on the water and get out there and have fun. You might end up skipping a couple of things and you're thinking, what's the worst thing that can happen? Right? Well, that's the time that the worst thing will happen. So maybe double check what you did before you headed out on the water to see if there was anything that could have been done differently. So I've already talked about this a little bit here, but the final kind of step in my boat fail grieving process, I guess you could call it, is once you've gone through all of these steps and, you know, you've taken stock of things, you've written down or had to think about what could have gone differently, you've taken a look at your habits to see if there's anything that's changed or that you should change, I should say, in the end, move on. Just don't harp on it. Don't let it be that thing that is going to stop you from heading out on the water, that's going to stop you from progressing, you know, through your boating life, whether it's maybe you're thinking of taking the next level course and you're practicing something that you learned in your first course and it's not going well. You know, maybe walk away from it for a little bit and then go back to it, but try to persist and try to move on and overcome whatever obstacle it is that you have set up in your mind, or, you know, that you feel is the thing getting in the way. So if it is something that has happened on the boat, like, you know, skying your halyard, for instance, so Again, if you lose the rope that pulls your sails up, you're in big trouble on a sailboat. So, you know, if it's something like that, maybe you need to look at changing your process of when you are attaching your halyard to your sail. Maybe there's something that you're doing that is giving you the opportunity to let go of that halyard momentarily when actually, I'll take it from the sail, I'll detach it from the sail, and I'm going to attach it right away to the ring on the mast, whatever, like just something like that, let's say. But, you know, just see if there's something slightly different that you can do. So one of the things that I've changed up a little bit on my boat, specifically with docking, is when it's really windy, I make sure that I have an extra spring line ready to go on the boat. So when we step off, somebody can use the spring line to stop the forward momentum of the boat if the wind is pushing us into the dock, or have the spring line ready to stop the momentum of the wind pushing us off of the dock or whatever. So just kind of little things that will depend for your boat. So it might be different. I have different setups on the different boats that I teach on, because some boats, the freeboard is a lot higher. So that's the distance from the water up to the deck. So we have quite low docks. And depending on who I'm teaching and how comfortable they are stepping on and off the boat, I have some people who are going to move really quick, like that student who saved the boat from hitting the dock when my motor died. And then I have some students that are a bit older that might have some mobility concerns or might not be able to step down from the boat as quickly as I need them to, depending on, you know, what's happening. So, you know, have a look around your boat, maybe see if there are equipment things that you can put into place, or reminders like the drain plug, forgetting to put in the drain plug. Maybe there's something that you can tie at the stern of the boat to be like, oh yeah, okay, every time I see that pink ribbon tied off, I know I need to put the drain plug in, or whatever. So yeah, basically a bit of a shorter episode. Just talking a little bit about your boat fails and how to overcome them, and in the end, moving on. So boat fails in the end are an unfortunate fact of boating life, but they can be overcome. I have faith that you guys are going to go off and do awesome things, and hopefully you're learning a few tips by listening to these podcasts and helping you get prepared to be out on the water and everything. So take what you can from it. Let me know, you know, if you want to share some boat fails. I love a good boat fail. It's something everybody can learn from, right? So feel free to send me an email, sailnelson.com, and all the show notes are there as well. And that's it for this week. A little bit of a shorter episode, but next week I'm going to dive into my top 10 sailing reads, or my top 10 boat books that I like to read. I'm a big nerd that way, so I'm going to compile a list, and something that you can kind of listen to in the off season too when you're dreaming about being out sailing. So I hope you have a great week. Thanks again for joining me, and have some smooth sailing.